The Bible uses word pictures to help us understand spiritual truth. This is especially true with regard to the Holy Spirit's work. We learn about the Holy Spirit by seeing His work in terms of things such as oil, water, and wind. Each picture increases our understanding, and today we'll learn about these word pictures that speak of the power and purity of the Spirit. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a 10-part series on When the Spirit Has His Way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. Dr. Lutzer comes now with more of his first message, one he's titled Naming the Spirit.
So the Holy Spirit is holy. He is going to birth holiness in us. He's going to move us toward holiness. And our lives are going to be changed because we'll be on a different trajectory. Now, when you look at the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God has different figures of speech. He has different figures of speech in the Scripture. For example, and I can see that we must hurry here, oil. It talks about the anointing of the Spirit. Old Testament, the priests were anointed for ministry. And that represents the anointing that all of us now have. I just looked up the verse this morning, and it's in 1 John, where it says, you also have an anointing. Imagine that. You've married a Christian, good for you. He or she has an anointing from God because you've received the gift of the Spirit. So there is an anointing. But there's another reason, I think, why oil represents the Spirit, and that is that in the tabernacle, there was this oil lamp, and it was lighted, and it gave light in worship. And the Holy Spirit of God always gives light and shines a spotlight on Jesus. Wherever the Holy Spirit of God is, Jesus is going to be exalted, because the Spirit does not speak of himself, but he keeps pointing us to Jesus and gives us the light to do so. Another figure of speech is water, cleansing. Old Testament references, I will pour clean water on you and you shall be cleansed from your iniquity. It's a figure of speech, but you do get the point. I remember a young woman involved in immorality told me, she says, as I look into my life and in my heart, it's like a sewer. You know, when you have rain and the sewer backs up, you know how awful that can be. And then after the rain subsides and the water goes down, what do? You take a hose, right? And you go out into the street and you hose it down and you cleanse it. That's what the Spirit of God does. He is like water to cleanse the heart. You know, it's one blessed thing to be forgiven, but I know Christians who are forgiven, but they're not cleansed. So they are hounded by their conscience, even over sins that they've confessed, because they don't understand the cleansing of the Spirit. And then there are two other figures of speech, and for this I am going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where you have the birth of the church. And I'm going to read, and then I'm going to comment on the two other figures of speech that are used here in the famous chapter of Acts chapter 2. Famous because it's the beginning of the church and it's the descent of the Holy Spirit. You'll notice chapter 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Just that far. Notice the two figures of speech that are here. The first is, of course, the figure of speech of wind. Now, it doesn't say that a wind blew in the upper room here. A wind didn't blow, but it was a sound like wind. It doesn't say that there was fire. It says tongues. And you know that when you have a flame, it's sort of forked. Forked flames, as it were, rested upon each person. symbolically speaking, because there wasn't fire. It looked like fire. But nonetheless, in the scriptures, these are two other figures of speech that are used for the Holy Spirit. The first is wind. Yesterday, I was trying to put some potted plants at the back of our house, and it wasn't supposed to be windy there, and yet gusts came and blew them over. And I wondered about that. I thought to myself, why is wind gusty? Why doesn't it just go at the same speed all the time? You know, Jesus said, the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you see it, but you don't know exactly where it's coming from or where it's going. Maybe the meteorologist Tom Skilling does, but you and I don't know too much about it. And it goes kind of wherever it wants. And I look at this and I say, you know, this means that there's a great deal of mystery connected with God and the Holy Spirit. And there really is. I don't understand why God saves some people, and the minute they're saved, they get rid of drugs and all the other things and never touch them again. And others are saved and struggle with it. I don't know why it is that some people who seem to live rather self-centered lives, they pray to God and they get a rather miraculous answer. And then there are others who pray the same prayer and nothing happens. I don't know. There's a great deal of mystery connected with the Holy Spirit. And we should embrace that mystery and not pretend that we know everything about the Spirit. This series of messages is not intended to teach you everything about the Spirit. It's intended to get you acquainted with the Spirit, to get you excited by the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit, as the Bible says we're supposed to be doing. And so that's the intention. But wind also has a tremendous amount of power, doesn't it? I mean, you think of it being unpredictable. It is powerful. Boy, if you get a wind storm, we know what hurricanes can do and the like. But there's another figure of speech, and that is fire. Fire frequently represents the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And the reason for that is fire sometimes has various meanings. Sometimes it represents the very presence of God. And people are brought into the presence of God. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews, now speaking of fire as a judgment, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. I say to those of you who are listening to this message, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God unprepared, because God is a consuming fire. I personally would want to make sure that I'm shielded from that fire. And the only shield is Jesus Christ and his work on our behalf. But now we see that fire represents the presence of God. Sometimes it represents the approval of God. In the case, for example, of Elijah on Mount Carmel, it was the fire that represented God's approval. Mostly, though, in the scripture, fire often represents the purifying effect of God. We all know what happens when there is wind and fire together, don't we? We think of what happened in Colorado when you have so many homes that were destroyed. And you can go through those areas, and all that you'll find is a chimney and a basement and a few other things that survived the fire. That's a good way to look at a purifying fire. If the Holy Spirit of God had his way here at Moody Church, what he would do, symbolically speaking, is go through the congregation, my life, everybody's life, and he would want to consume everything that isn't holy. He'd want to consume and to burn out all of our sins and our rationalizations that we bring to ourselves and we tell ourselves and all of the things. And what he would do is to purify, to purify, to purify. The Spirit always purifies, and a symbol of that purification is fire. Now it says here that after this, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I have to take out a few moments and comment on this, and wish I had more. Would have to be done in another message, actually. But there are many dear people who say that we should speak in tongues today as a sign of either the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so I must comment. I believe that Pentecost was an event that need never and will never be repeated. Just like the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem was a one-time event, and Jesus doesn't have to be born again in Bethlehem, in the very same way, we don't have to gather in a room somewhere and wait for the coming of the Spirit. The Spirit came at Pentecost. Now, he came at Pentecost, and he came among his people, as Jesus explained, and this will become a little clearer in the next message. But the point is that, what about this tongue speaking? You know, suddenly people able to speak languages they never learned, and by the way, they are languages, and I believe all through the New Testament where it refers to tongues, it's talking about actual dialects. I think there are about 13 different nations represented here. And the question is, do we have to speak in tongues today as a sign of the Spirit? Let me tell you why I think the answer is no. What's happening here on the day of Pentecost is God is dramatically showing that the good news of the gospel, the wonderful works of God, will no longer be confined just to one area of the world, namely the land that we call Israel and the Jewish people. But now the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to go out to the whole world in all the different languages of the world. The wonderful works of the gospel will be proclaimed. You see, Isaiah predicted this in chapter 28, verse 11. God says, the day is going to come when I'm going to speak to this people, namely the Jews, in the stammering lips of Gentile languages. And Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians 14 as having been fulfilled at Pentecost or through the gift of tongues. So you see, what God is saying here is that this is a dramatic way of saying that from now on in all the areas of the world, to the ends of the earth, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be proclaimed, not just in the beautiful language of Hebrew, but in all the Gentile languages that there are. And so every place where tongues is spoken of in the book of Acts, and there are at least two other places where it occurs, the gospel is going to a new ethnic and racial group. And as it spreads out, God says, this is the sign that the gospel has now gone is going throughout the whole world, to all the different districts of the world, to all the different people of the world. Now, I could give you more scriptural support for that, but we must hurry on, except to say this. I don't believe that tongues is a sign today of the filling of the Spirit or even the baptism of the Spirit, as we shall see in subsequent messages. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. As you know, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit has some controversies, and I deal with those briefly in this series of messages, though that is not my emphasis. My real desire is that all of us will experience the companionship of the Holy Spirit, and as a result of that, experience His power, and I pray that we will not be afraid of the Spirit, but that we'll learn to walk in the Spirit together. Join us day by day.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Naming the Spirit, the first of 10 messages on When the Spirit Has His Way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. Tomorrow, what would happen if the Spirit had His way in our times as He did long ago? This 10-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When the Spirit Has His Way. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.